Let's read it. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even now and forevermore. And when I was sort of allocated that some weeks ago, I guess, I thought, what on earth is that all about, really? Most versions, or a number of versions, I understand, it starts with the word behold, a sort of listen up. This is God speaking. What's so important about this thing of unity? Well, this is God's word, and it says unity really pleases the Lord. When brothers and sisters living together, that's us lot, are not falling out, squabbling. So, first little thing, I'm sure your families are nothing like that. But there might be sometimes, or a little part of it. Just the odd fallout, disagreement, possibly, maybe not. And sadly, just as families have squabbles and fallouts and even separate sometimes, don't they? So sadly do Christians and churches. And of course, sometimes we will disagree with each other. Sometimes we'll disagree strongly with each other. And when a basic gospel issue is at stake, so we should fall out. But someone said about disagreeing, if we fall out, we must do it not disagreeably. So we have different opinions. It's okay to fall out and have a different opinion, but let's not be disagreeable when we do that falling out. What are the basic issues? Well, we've been through some of those at Growth Group, haven't we? The five solas of saved by grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, as revealed in Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. And there's basics from the Bible which we mustn't add or subtract or compromise with. What the Bible says about the gospel, we have to hold fast to it. But of course, we will have different interpretations of a lot of those issues and exactly what a passage is saying. But then there are secondary issues where amongst ourselves we really will have different opinions. And just for a moment, call out to me what we might have differences on within the church. What might we not squabble about? We might say, well, no, I don't agree with that. Or we have too much of this or not enough of that. Like music. Too loud, too soft, too fast, too quick. Anything else? Thank you, music. Say again?
Too old, too new.
Oh, the hymns and things. Too old, yeah. Okay, well, we've got one new and one old tonight. I thought that was this way. Anything else?
How you govern a church?
How you govern a church? Yeah. There's loads. Come on, there's loads. Okay, what about this little lot? Baptism. Communion. I've got dress code down here. When Chris was talking about you look at someone's garden this morning and you can tell what they're like a little bit by looking at garden, my hearing, my wife tells me, is a little bit blacking, and I thought he said garments. And I think, Mr. Fry, that actually you can tell more about how people dress, or you used to anyway, than your garden, really. But all those sort of things come in, don't they? So it's, yeah, dress code, gardens and garments, music, the role of men and women in the church, creation, Christ's return, when, the millennium, all that sort of stuff. And we do, yeah, we can fall out, not fall out, we certainly have differences of opinions, and that's fine. Lately in the church around the world, in the UK and around the world, churches are arguing about gender, aren't they? A load of stuff about gender and same-sex marriage. And there are really strong views on that either side. Are they of primary importance? Enough to fall out over? Possibly. Probably. In my view, yes, we should sort of fall out on that sort of issue. Because to me, the Bible is very clear, but we'll leave it just there. The scope of disunity in the church is wide and dangerous, really. And God says, how good and pleasant the psalm, how good and pleasant it is when people get along well. Despite being very diverse and young and old from different nationalities, different cultures, somehow God wants us and helps us to get along really well because of our oneness in the belief and faith in Jesus. So to our psalm, verse 2, which I started scratching my head on and started looking stuff up. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Verses 2 and 3, so there's that one, and then there's something about dew. They're similes, which a higher authority to me this afternoon told me that a simile is when it's like something, which is referred to in the verses here. So where does Aaron's beard come into it? Thank you. Moses appointed, or anointed rather, his brother Aaron as high priest. And the high priest had oil. I wanted a volunteer, but I needed someone with a beard. I haven't got anyone really. No, I've forgotten the oil as well. I forgot the oil. I was going to bring some garlic oil, but I thought that'd be too much. But the Mark, yeah. But the oil had to be poured over his head and dribbled down his beard. What a mess it would be. Down his beard, over his collar, and down over a breastplate, all to the bottom, as it were. And on that breastplate, there were 12 precious stones, of one for each tribe of Israel at the time. And so that's what the priest did. This was a sacred setting apart of the priest, of Aaron in this case. Setting apart over God's people, and he in turn would represent God's people. All of those 12 tribes. So it was it's all together, boys, girls. And that's where the unity came in. It's like that. The oil, this precious oil, and Chris again mentioned this morning about the perfume. This would be fragrant oil poured over him and over that. The unity sort of being, fragrant to God, of unity, of all together. Now, of course, that happened until Jesus, our ultimate high priest, came. And he, in turn, of course, represents us. So this oil, as it spread over the breastplate, indicated a oneness, a unity, which God so wants. I quote this. Someone describes this as like oil flowing from hair to beard and down over the breastplate. So the Spirit of God flows down from the head of the church to the body, from Christ to his church. I'm quoting this, as I say, the lesson of Aaron's oily beard is one of unity. It's a blessing to us, brings pleasure to God. When we diligently and deliberately live like children of a common Father, and this oil, as I say, would have that aroma. And as our lives depict that unity, that again has that common, pleasing aroma to God as we live out our lives. Okay, so that's the oil, that's the oily beard bit. And in verse 3 it says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Really quite different example or simile, isn't it? I've never been there, but I'm told. Mount Hermon is this big, big mountain at the north of the country, a high mountain range, snow in the winter, lovely and cool dew in the summer. And it's as if, the Bible says, the lovely dew on Mount Hermon dribbles all the way down to dry and arid and hot Jerusalem or Mount Zion. Bit of a miracle that, because there's not enough dew, but it's like that, it says. It's like a supernatural which God provides, the refreshing dew coming down. That's as God sees unity to the church. Wouldn't that refreshing coolness on a hot summer evening be great as it fell on us, as it were, tonight? So the dew was an impossibility, really. It wouldn't come that way, that far. But God's Spirit does come that far to his people because of what Jesus has done. So the unity, verse 2, it's like the oil. Verse 3, it's like that lovely, refreshing dew. And it's how God wants his people to be, his church to be one. And hence, one of the last prayers of Jesus before he died, he prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and I are one in you. Pretty important, that. One of the last prayers of the Lord Jesus. He just wanted us to be, or his church, his people, to be in union and in unity. And this is going to be difficult, because we do have differences, don't we? And wouldn't life be really boring if we were all the same? But our differences, God uses to help us to grow, as it were, to grow in grace and love and respect for each other. I got that quote from somewhere. We can agree to disagree, but make sure we disagree without being disagreeable. The Bible then gives us a number of examples showing that through the Bible this wasn't as easy as we might seem. And so, thanks, Ian. Next one. There's a number of examples through the letters from Paul saying, when he's reproving the Corinthians for their quarrelling, warning the Galatians against the dangers of rivalries, dissensions and divisions, says to Euodia and Syntyche, agree in the Lord, will you? Instructing the Colossians to forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. And then he exhorts the Ephesians not to indulge in corrupting talk and so on. So it's almost as though if it happened in the Bible days with Paul telling the churches, watch out on these things, it's probably likely that it might well happen here with us because of what's going on in here, isn't it, in our hearts. So I'm just going to read a little bit from Ephesians, which tells us quite strictly, really, what we should and shouldn't do. So it's Ephesians 4, just a few verses, 1-6, I think it is. So Ephesians 4 says this, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I'll repeat that bit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I think it's saying we've got to work on this. How do we do it? Only with his help. It was noted that both of those similes, the oil came down, and as did the dew came down, and so the Spirit of God comes down upon us as his gift, his blessing. And then the last verse, I've got to go back to it, in that Psalm 133. Oh, there we go, last bit. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. For there the Lord, well, where's there? I think there is Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing. My interpretation of this, I stand to be corrected. We are Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where God was or is. It's his dwelling place. So where God dwells, Mount Zion was Jerusalem, wasn't it? That's where God dwells, as we heard this morning in the Old Testament, in the Ark. Now we are a form of Mount Zion. We are his people. He dwells with us, as we know, through his Spirit in us. So there, here, the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So God says, how good and pleasant when he sees his church family at one. And while that's his gift, it's also our responsibility, as it says in Ephesians, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. I came across a couple of quotes as we finish. God wants us to show an earthly illustration of Trinitarian unity. I had to read that about three times before I understood what it means, I think. The unity of Father, Son, and Spirit. Total oneness. Our God, the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit. Trinitarian unity. We know that they were, as it were, like that. And it says, God wants us to show an earthly illustration of that unity. That's a big ask, isn't it? And we can only do it through the help of his Spirit. And there's another quote from Francis Schaeffer, which is just as difficult to understand, really, but here we go. With the members of the Trinity opening the circle and drawing us into their own fellowship, letting us into their holy family because of what Jesus has done. Then it goes on, it is deeply profound and mysterious reality, but what we can say is that Christian community should therefore reflect the mutually supportive love of the Father, Son, and Spirit. I think we need the pastors to do a number of series on that little bunch. But I'll just repeat a little bit of that. With the members of the Trinity, as it were, opening up their oneness to let us, his people, in, to join that oneness, which we're going to do sort of shadowy when we're down here, isn't it? But the better will be when we're, the fully realization of it is when we arrive in glory, then that total, as it were, Trinitarian unity will include us, I think. That's what I understand of it. Chris, I'm sure, will send me a note later. You're welcome. You can do. Okay. Meantime, let's end with this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's what Ephesians says. That's what he said to all of the letters. To make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit.